Bless each of you for coming. Good to see each one here. Greet you all in the one who saved me, in the name of Jesus, the one who delivered me from myself and from sin. I would love to sing to you my testimony this morning if you'll allow me to. I know I've sung this song before, but it truly is a testimony in my heart because of the way I grew up, full of hurt, full of self, and full of self-pity, and became bitter. God delivered me from bitterness toward my father, brought healing, but it's because of him. This songwriter puts it so well, and he was one of my favorite ones as I found myself climbing out of everything that I was involved in as a younger person. Where do the brokenhearted go to find their comfort for their pain? So many hurting need to know the hope there is in Jesus' name. I tried to make it on my own, but I kept drifting far away. But now I finally have a home. In Jesus' love, I'll always stay. I have joy in the time of sorrow. I have peace in a raging storm. I have faith that Jesus holds tomorrow. Oh, I have hope, trusting in his love. That truly is my testimony this morning. I love singing that song because it describes the many things that I went through as a young man growing up in a broken home. And you know, it wasn't until God delivered me from myself and from my bitterness that I began to experience what the songwriter says here in 370 in the hymnary. He says, emptied that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power, but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who boughtest to possess me in thy fullness, Lord. Come in. Channels only. You know, and I began to experience what it meant to be a channel for Jesus. But up to that point, I wasn't much of a channel. I didn't give out life. God longs for our lives to be giving out his life. And it's only as we are emptied of ourselves that he can fill us, a clean vessel. And setting free from self and sin. You know, I was thinking about a surrendered life, the power of a surrendered life, so much this week. And when we're not surrendered, the hindrance that it is, and when we're resisting, when we're fighting against God, we are powerless. And there's no life that comes out. And all people see is us. They don't see Jesus. And they often see the miserable people that we become when we become full of self and sin. You know, there was a prophet in the Bible. It's interesting what the scripture says about him. It says that he was a mercenary prophet. A mercenary prophet. Can anyone tell me what a mercenary prophet is? Pardon me? He did it for the money. And he also was double-minded, and He did not want to take God's answer to him when he asked him how he should prophesy. He kept trying to change God, even though he didn't say it in words, but his very actions showed. And that was, who wants to guess who that was? Balaam, yes. So he, my Bible, going into the footnotes, said he was self-willed, he was double-minded, and he was greedy for gain. And that's why Scripture says over and over, do not follow the way of Balaam, because in the end, it'll bring death, not only to your life, but as your life pours out to others, it brings death to them also. There was another man in Scripture that was totally opposite of Balaam. And when God spoke to him, he listened. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Totally different response. I'll do anything, Lord. And this man, God used him in a mighty powerful way. He survived beatings. He survived shipwreck. And he went among dignitaries for the sake of the gospel. He could have walked away free. The one king told him, he says, we can't find anything wrong with you. You know, we could let you go. And he said, no, I have appealed to Caesar. And all of that for the sake of the gospel. And it looked like from the beginning that he had a very bright future and bright career, and he was connected with leaders all over and carrying out terrible orders, killing people for their faith. And God turned him totally around, and his response was, Lord, what would you have me to do? It was a response of, blessed are the poor in spirit. A beggar, what will you have me do? He's the one that said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life without which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Does that sound like surrender? Yes. And I echo those words with him this morning. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then Galatians 5:24, it says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. They have allowed Jesus to come in through repentance and his washing away with his blood all the filthiness, and as James says, the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And as that happens, God's word begins to implant within you, and it begins to grow. And there's a meek spirit that comes, and Scripture goes on to say in James that with meekness receive the engrafted word. But without that meekness, which comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's hard to receive the word of God into your heart and into your life. You know, James 4... James talks very clearly how God loves a humble heart, a surrendered heart. He says in verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And poor Balaam, That did not describe him. He was double-minded. He tried to serve God with duplicity, with a dualness, one foot on this side of the fence, one foot on the other side of the fence. And because of that, God says, don't go the way of Balaam. Flee, as it says in Jude and as he says in Peter. You know, it's interesting. I shared just a little bit my last message on James chapter 1, verse 21, where it says, whereby lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. You know, I look at that word superfluity and I go, wow, that's a big word. And it is a big word with a very big meaning. Simply, and I often wondered what it meant, but it's simply saying you have an overabundant dose of the carnal nature within you. Get rid of it, because that will run your life rather than Jesus Christ, and you will not experience the power of a surrendered life. Paul experienced the power of a surrendered life. I love the story where they get shipwrecked, and he goes, him and all the guys that were on the ship, they go ashore. And Paul gathers sticks and puts sticks in the fire. And out from the fire jumps a snake and grabs him right on the arm. A venomous snake, a viper. One of the most deadliest ones you could be bitten by. And so all the heathens that were sitting around there, the ones that were not believers, they're thinking to themselves, huh? He's going to swell up and die because there's no way he can survive that. And as the evening wore on, it just says when that bit him, he just shook it off and it fell back into the fire. And they kept waiting for him to fall over and die, and he didn't. The power of God was working so powerfully in Paul that God came and miraculously spared his life from that snake bite. And then it goes on to say in that story of shipwreck that he went into the father of the leader and healed him of terrible blood disease. Totally opposite of someone who's self-willed. It's a beautiful picture of someone who said, I am crucified with Christ. It's all about Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus today. And when you, and interesting enough, when you read that verse where it says the engrafted word, it's also referring to that, to Jesus. The word there has the same meaning as Jesus. As I was studying this, I thought, wow, that's interesting. You implant Jesus within your heart. You engraft him within your heart, and he is able to save your soul. Superfluity of naughtiness. I used to often wonder what that meant. And it makes sense. An overabundant dose of the carnal nature that wants to take over in your heart rather than Jesus, rather than surrendering your life and allowing that meekness to engraft Jesus and allow him to direct your path. I'm wondering if we could sing together 370 in the hymnary. Paul became a channel. Balaam was not a channel. Balaam led people only to him, but not to God. He didn't point people to God. Paul pointed people to God. Paul's very life exemplified the power of Jesus Christ. And he became a powerful channel. And God longs to make each one of us a powerful channel. But unless we allow him to carry out all the trash within our lives, only he can do it. You know, we can try all we want. but our efforts are futile. It's the power of Jesus Christ working within us, flowing out, and because of that, we can be a channel just as Paul was on that island when they watched him shake the snake off. And God longs to give us that same power to shake off the snakes of the enemy, all the different poisons that are out there. And we can shake them off with the power of God, but in our own efforts, we cannot. 370, how I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love lay hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Emptied that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all the wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who boughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all the wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Amen. Are you a channel for Jesus? You know, as Dave was talking about ministry, I just find it so interesting. Whenever churches are involved in reaching out and in ministry, it takes the attention off of one another, and our vision is looking outward. And it's amazing how all the squabbles and sometimes the fightings that go on within a church slowly fade away as we are looking outward to the needs of those who are in desperate need of Jesus. And that was Paul. His life was for the sake of the gospel. I love the Word of God this morning, where it talks about, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. I love that passage. It gives you a beautiful directive on how to walk with the Lord every day. Let's just look at that quickly. So many thoughts went through my mind, and it seemed like as I was studying that my mind just kept going everywhere, and I just cried out to the Lord to connect my thoughts, that I would be able to share something with you this morning that you could take home with you and you could ponder, and that would direct your steps. And Psalm 119 is a beautiful passage. And beginning at verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." You know, I remember quoting this passage as I was walking through, not my favorite thing, walking through a chicken house with thousands of chickens and feeling them peck on my legs and wondering, am I going to come out of this alive? And then my thoughts would wander all over the place, and God would take me to this passage, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways?" And I kept quoting it, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." And I know it doesn't sound like it connects, but it did for me. That whenever I would, it took my mind off of myself, took my mind off of all the chickens around me, and it put my mind on how I should walk. And because I was walking, and I said, "Lord, how should I walk?" And he took me here. And I love the next verse. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." So you see all kinds of things happening here in this passage where it's taking your thoughts away from yourself. It's setting you free because it's talking about the word, and it's talking about hiding that in your heart and having Jesus in your heart, that you might not sin against him. And it goes on to say that your lips are going to declare. You're going to find yourself ministering, declaring the word of God to others. And then it goes on to say, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies." And you find yourself responding in joy because of the word of God within you, as much as in all riches, it goes on to say in verse 15, "I will meditate to thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." And that's what will happen. It changes you away from yourself, and you begin to see God and his ways, and you marvel and you become excited with the path that he's taking you down. And then in verse 16, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. To receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." We can avoid the superfluity of naughtiness that James speaks of in James chapter 1 by trusting the Holy Spirit and the word of God to lead us down the right path. It is not about trying so hard to be good. It's about yielding. It's about surrendering to the promptings of the Holy Spirit that every true believer has. Just let him lead you down the right path and then follow. The wages of sin is death. The good news is that James does not leave us with no remedy. Just like Paul in Romans 6, he gives a remedy. Because Paul will experience that in his own life. The remedy we see in today's verse is to receive with meekness the engrafted word. That word which is able to save your souls is Jesus. We know this because John 1:1 tells us about this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then also in verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So it's interesting. James tells us that temptation leads to death, but he also gives us a way out of temptation. And we know what he says in James chapter 1, where he warns us about temptation and then how lust entices and all those things, and it takes us down a path of death. So James tells us that temptation leads to death, but he also gives us a way out of temptation. He tells us that we must receive the word, which is Jesus, and that it will be engrafted to us and is able to save our souls. The only way to turn our thoughts away from sinful behaviors continually is do what I was sharing with you, quoting scripture continually and allowing that to fill us, turning our thoughts away from sinful behaviors to replace our carnality, our carnal thoughts with something better, and that's the Word of God. We have a way of escape, hallelujah, away from temptation, away from the overabundant carnal nature that wants to rule and reign. As we surrender to Jesus Christ and we surrender to His power, that we find ourselves not having that taste anymore within our hearts for the carnal things. When we read the Word of God and we hide it in our hearts, we will not sin against God, as we had quoted earlier. When we allow the Word of God to be our focus, we will walk with God down His path. It is the meditation and memory of Scripture that causes us to do the things that pleases God. As Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Scripture within us will be a powerful draw to do the things that please God. We will see what those things are because we know what God's Word says. As Psalm 19:8 says very clearly, let me just read that to you. Are you a channel this morning, or are you full of self-will? Are you double-minded? One minute you're in, one minute you're out. Well, James is giving us some clear direction this morning, and God's Word gives us clear direction. Psalm 19, verse 8, says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." And there's superfluity of naughtiness coming forth as we read that last part, secret faults. We think no one sees the things within us, the secret things that go on, but God sees them, and it takes us down a path unless we allow the Lord Jesus Christ to carry those secret faults out, to carry all the enticements of sin away. And then the meekness comes in, and we are able to receive His Word. We are able to have the implantation of Jesus within us. keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I know I shared the other Sunday about carrying out the garbage. And unfortunately, that garbage will come right back in unless we fill our minds and our thoughts and our hearts with God's Word. Do you have a hard time during the day to getting into God's Word? Is it a struggle? It's hard to sometimes because things are so fast-paced and we're so geared to meet the demands that we have upon us in life. I do. I confess that as an older man that I sometimes struggle with being able to get quiet and spend time with God. And when I do, all kinds of things come in to distract me. Oh, did you pay that bill? Oh, that bill is due today. And God says, just stop. Just take a few minutes with me. I like our book that we are studying as men. It says, take 10 with God. Did you guys read that in the back? Take 10 with God. This will be just a little introduction for you as we continue. It says, take 10 with God, 3 minutes. Just stop to think, all I need is 10 minutes, although I need more than that. But if you're having a hard time, it says, read the Bible for 3 minutes. And then he goes on to say, 3 minutes, meditate on what you read. Is that hard to do? Sometimes. But you need to just, God, I just want 10 minutes of quietness with you. Read the Bible. Can anyone keep on the right path and best path on the path of purity by living according to your word? Well, meditate on God's word. Meditate on what you read. What does it say? What does it mean, and what does it mean to you? How can anyone stay on the best, most blessed path? Blessed is the one who delights, whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. So you have 3 minutes reading the Bible, 3 minutes meditating on what you read and asking yourself, what does it mean, and what does it mean to me, and what does it say? And then 4 minutes. Take at least 4 minutes to pray. And that's taking 10 with God. If you don't have time for anything else, at least take 10 with God. But I pray that you have more time than that. But there are some that just say, you know, how can I? I just can't get quiet. Well, just start with 10. And you'll find yourself getting deeper and deeper and longing for more than 10. I think I'm going to close. Presumptuous sins, secret faults. God wants you to give those all to him and allow him to carry them out for you. And he wants to fill you with himself. And take away the self-life, which those presumptuous sins and secret faults have so much to do with our self-life. Emptied that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy sight, with no power but as thou givest. Oh Lord, I pray this morning that you deliver us from the superfluity of naughtiness, that we'd be able to receive in humility, just as Paul said, Lord, what would you have me do? And you're just saying, surrender. Surrender everything to me, your secret faults, your presumptuous sins, all your little secrets. Allow me to come in and cleanse you and deliver you from all those, and that your life can be a life-giving life to others as we make connections throughout the day with our families and with people that we deal with, Lord. Our lives would give forth the breath of your life within us because we have taken time with you. We have allowed you to fill us and empty us of ourselves. Hallelujah. I just pray, dear God, that if there's anyone here this morning that is totally controlled by the natural desires and sensual things of life, that they would find deliverance today. Allow you, Father, to carry that all out and find themselves in humble surrender. Lord, what will you have me to do? Surrender. Give your life to me so that you can say and echo with the Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Thank you, God, for your word and its power. In the name of Jesus, amen.